Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
Online audience this morning, if you missed week one and two, I don't know about y'all, but this has been a powerful series for me. I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm preaching to myself. It has been powerful for me, and I want to encourage you, if you've missed a week, get online, get to our podcast, and listen to it, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak life into your soul. And if you are a part of our online audience this morning, I want to thank you for being with us, but I also want to encourage you to consider investing financially into the ministry that God has put here at Life Church in McDonough. I want to say in the name of Jesus, this is good soil, and God is using this church to bring revival to South Atlanta. Come on, somebody. I believe it with all my heart. Breakthrough is on its way. God is moving in our hearts. This is real, church. We are real people, authentic believers, and God wants to use us in a significant way. So together, I'm excited. You see all the flags, all the banners. We're getting ready for our missions emphasis. Our missions banquet is coming February 13th. It's going to be powerful. We've got, I think, 13 of our missionaries are going to be here in the house to testify of what God is doing globally in our movement, in our church. And I'm excited for that. And together, we are reaching the world with the love of Jesus. You just gave. Thank you for giving. You just changed the world through your gifts. Somebody is going to get saved because we gave. Somebody's going to come into the kingdom of God. Their name is going to be transferred from the dominion of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of light in the Son whom he loves because of generosity like yours. Thank you so much for being a part of what God's doing. Last week we looked at Hannah's brokenness. I don't know about you, but all of us have brokenness. And we looked at Hannah's brokenness, and God spoke a prophetic word into my life and into yours. The word was, the dream is coming. Come on. The dream is coming. I believe it with all my heart. I'm not going to allow my natural eyes to deceive me because I know God spoke to me. The dream is coming. Hallelujah. So many people have communicated. It's been so encouraging this past week. How that phrase, the dream is coming, has resonated with your spirit. And I'm daring you to hold on to it. It's not just a one-week hit. It is for the rest of this year. Hold on to it. The dream is coming in Jesus' name. The dream is coming. God is faithful, and I'm here this morning with a mandate to say breakthrough is on its way. Breakthrough is on its way. I am a positive preacher. I'm not going to be ashamed about that. My God is positive. My God is for me. He's not against me. I am to be the head and not the tail. I am the victor and not the victim. Come on, somebody. And so I'm excited that Paul said it in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. We can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. Another translation says, my God is faithful to complete the good work he started. Amen. That's good news this morning. He started something in me and he's not done. He's faithful. He's going to complete it in Jesus' name. Breakthrough is coming in Jesus' name. We learned through Hannah's life that persistent prayer is the key to moving from broken into breakthrough. Come on, somebody. We got to pray through. I love the old acronym, we need to push. We need to pray until something happens. If you need breakthrough, that needs to be your mantra. Pray until something happens, because that's what Hannah did. We're on the tail end. Praise Jesus. How many are glad that there's only a few days left of our fasting and prayer? But I'm excited. So many cool stories have already, testimonies are pouring in because so many of us are praying and fasting. Jesus said, this kind come through prayer and through fasting. Amen? And I want to please this morning let your pastor encourage you. Let me inspire you. I know it's hard, but now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to let up off the gas pedal. It is, the finish line is coming. And in a race, when the finish line is coming, that's when we sprint. Come on, somebody. That's when we press harder. That's where we dig deeper. That's where we get more intimate with our Lord and our Savior. And if you've been praying and you've been fasting with us, I want to encourage you, keep up the amazing work. We're so proud of you. Thank you for joining with us and partnering with us, because prayer moves the hand of God. Prayer moves the hand of God. I have made it 2 weeks on this fast. I've lost about 12 pounds. Hallelujah. I'm withering away. But it's okay. I promise you I can make it one more week. And if I can make it, you can make it. One more week. Well, that's all we need. My Bible tells me we can do all things through Christ who gives us his strength. He put it on our hearts, a conviction to fast, and so we're going to finish strong. Amen? And I believe that prayer changes the world, church. Prayer changes the world. I want to encourage your prayer life this week. I believe with all my heart that starting in 2022, as we've started this year off with prayer and fasting, that means that 2022 is going to be a year of breakthrough, because prayer changes things. Hannah lived with a long-term frustration. We saw this last week. She was childless for much longer than 21 days, y'all. Much longer than years of her life she suffered. And she went without for years the thing that she desired, God. But here's the deal. She did not let go of that dream. She knew the dream was coming. She never stopped believing. Come on, somebody. She never stopped trusting the Lord. She watched others have what she wanted, but her brokenness turned to breakthrough. Praise God. Her brokenness turned to breakthrough, because her story tells you and me that the longer the struggle, oh, the sweeter the victory, church. The longer the struggle, the longer we go through the trial, the sweeter the victory is on the other side. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I've had some sweet victory in my life. I've had some things that I prayed for a long time, and when they finally came, it was so sweet. It was so good to be in that. My Bible tells me in Proverbs 3 that we have to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding. In Hebrews chapter 11, it teaches me that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. I wonder who has some faith in the house this morning. I wonder who's believing for something they may not see right now in the moment, but I'm here to say the dream is coming. It's coming. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why do you have such zeal and such energy, such excitement when things seem to be going difficult, Pastor? It's because I got faith. It's because I believe. I'm not going to allow my circumstances to determine how I think and how I believe, because my God is above my circumstances. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs that encouragement this morning. Hannah did not let discouragement defeat her. That's power. She did not allow her circumstances to dictate her theology, and she knew that God is able, church. God is able. I said, God is able. She knew that God was for her and not against her. And the dream is coming, because here's the deal. James 5, verse 16 says, the fervent prayer of a righteous person is both powerful and effective. We are praying, and we're praying with passion. We're denying ourselves intentionally so that God will move. And I'm believing that breakthrough is on its way in Jesus' name. And I'm confident this morning. I'm still confident. I was confident last week, and I'm still confident on week 3 that the dream is coming, because so many of us are fasting. Revival is on the way. Come on, somebody. Revival's on the way, because we're pressing into the presence of God and pushing away the things of this world. Breakthrough is coming, because your prayers are being heard. God hears you. He sees your heart. He knows your passion. And today is day 15. Of our prayer and fasting. And if you haven't had the breakthrough yet, if you've been praying and you've been fasting, you've been interceding and you still haven't seen it yet, let me remind us this morning, the dream's coming. It's still coming. It's on its way. Breakthrough is coming, church. If you're like me and you're beyond hungry, come on, somebody. Can I just get, man, even a Chick-fil-A sandwich? Can I get a witness? Can I get God's chicken even? No. The dream is coming. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen? It's hard. But I came this morning with intention. Now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to fall short. Now is the time to persevere, church. Now is the time to press in. The Bible challenges us. In Romans chapter 5, it says, not only so, but we glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and that character produces hope, and that hope will not put us to shame, because God's love is and has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. That is good news this morning. I've been sent with the encouragement to remind us this morning that God's word will not fail. His word does not return void. In a few moments, we're going to look at a story where Jacob wrestled with God. He wrestled with God until he got his breakthrough, church. He wrestled with him physically and spiritually. And God sent me this morning to speak life and to motivate somebody's spirit this morning to be determined, to be focused. And hear this, church, who we determine to be now will affect the breakthrough God's designed for our near future, church. Who we determine to be now, what are the choices we make, the determination we walk in right now is going to affect our future. What we do now, in other words, affects our tomorrow. What we do now will affect our tomorrow. If you've spent much time around me and my family, it won't take you long to realize that my wife is tenacious. Any of you that knows Jubilee well, she is a passionate person. She is fiercely competitive. She is full of zeal and integrity. And I was a witness to, and I held her hand when she gave birth to all three of our children naturally with no epidural and no major medication. She was a champion in that situation, and I was there the whole time. I did absolutely nothing. Praise the Lord, I didn't feel a thing. But our first son, Damien, especially, Damien did not want to get out of his oven, y'all. He took 27 hours of labor, church, 27 hours to introduce himself into this world. And I say that, I didn't do it, Jubilee did it, all 27 hours. All for 27 hours, Jubilee watched, I watched Jubilee suffer. And for 27 hours, I watched Jubilee focus. I watched her squeeze my hand, right? My hand was crippled for a couple days. For 27 hours, she gave me that fierce look that translated to, you did this to me, for 27 hours. And for 27 hours, I watched my wife endure. And every time the nurse came in, hear this, this was incredible. And I was blown away by it. Every time the nurse, because y'all know when you're in the hospital, a nurse comes in, and on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain level? 1 being good and 10 being fierce. And every time the nurse would come in, Jubilee would say, I'm a 3. I'm a 3. She had a friend who was a nurse that said, if you change that, they're going to try to convince you to take some medicine. And so every time the nurse would come in and she would say, I'm a 3. And one time it was near the tail end of this 27-hour experience that this nurse walked in, and she's in active labor. And she said, sweetheart, what's your pain level? And Jubilee said, I'm a 3. I'm a three. Right? And the nurse said, you are lying. There is no way you are in active labor. You are at least a 10. You're probably a 15, girl. Why are you lying to me? But even after all of that, something inside my wife refused to give up. Something inside of her knew that the pain she was enduring in this moment was only temporary. Oh, that's something that somebody needs to get a hold of this morning. The pain that you're enduring right now is only temporary. If she knew, Jubilee knew, if she kept pressing on, if she stayed strong, if she stayed committed to her conviction, she knew that breakthrough was coming. It was coming. And God sent me to remind us this morning that the pain you and I are experiencing today is only temporary. The pain you're challenged with right now, it's temporary. It does not have the power to prevent our breakthrough in Jesus' name. It's temporary. God can make a way where there seems to be no way, is what my Bible tells me. I hope by week 3 you're starting to see a pattern
that brokenness leads us to breakthrough. The Holy Bible, God's living word, the book that communicates this message of broken to breakthrough in so many unique ways. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. The word of God is powerful, church. Come on, somebody. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing the natural and supernatural. 66 books, 40 unique authors inspired by the Holy Spirit of the living God, written across three different continents in a time span of 1,500 years, originally crafted in three different languages with the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Aramaic. Man, all, the entire book points that God uses broken people. Come on, somebody. God uses broken vessels, and all of us have brokenness, but with Jesus, all of us can experience breakthrough. All of us. The Bible weaves together this amazing expression of unstoppable love in every book, from every author, in every poem, in every song, in every prophecy. It all points to the omnipotent Creator God we serve this morning, who loves us, who fights for us, who believes in us, and is loving us even right now enough to step out of heaven to break his own self on Calvary's cross and say, you know what, I love them enough to be broken and humble myself, because while we were yet sinners, he died for us. In the book of Genesis, we learn that Jacob was this is very important as we jump into the study of God's word this morning. Jacob was a heel grabber, is what the Bible describes him as. From the moment Jacob was born, he was labeled with being a liar. From the moment he was born, his name meant supplanter. I don't know what his mom and dad were thinking, because y'all got to pay attention to what you're naming your kids, because especially back then, it was a prophecy over the child. And they named him supplanter and deceiver. Jacob was a man just like all of us. He lived his life with a flawed past, church. He had a flawed past. He did so many things that he would later in life regret. He stole his brother's birthright and deceived his father to give him Esau's blessing. Time after time, he was in collusion with his mom to do things that he should have never done. And his choices left his family broken and divided, church. His choices. And years later, after making all of these negative decisions, Esau and Jacob, there was a point in history where Esau looked at him and he said, you better leave or I'm going to kill you. And that was the truth. And so they split ways. And so years later, after making mistake after mistake after mistake, Esau and Jacob's paths are about to cross. And it seems like Jacob's past is finally about to catch up to him. I wonder if somebody feels that way this morning. Your past is about to catch up to you. But here's the deal. Jacob refused to let the discouragement of his past get the best of him. He refused. Look at me. Look at the word this morning in Genesis chapter 32. The Bible says this. That night, Jacob got up the night before meeting his brother, and he took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. And after he sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Commentaries believe that this was an angelic being. Other commentaries believe that this was a pre-incarnate expression of the Son of God, that Jacob was literally wrestling with God in this moment. And the Bible continues, it says, when the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hips so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And the man said, let go, for it's daybreak. Oh, I love this next verse. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go. Oh, somebody needs to get a hold of God this morning and say, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. I'm not going to let go until breakthrough comes. I'm not going to stop fighting until it comes. I need you, Jesus. So I'm not going to let go until you bless me, God. And the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Flawed, deceiver, liar, supplanter, heel grabber. And the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you've struggled with God and with man and have overcome. God, may your anointing fall fresh on this word. God sent me this morning to encourage somebody's heart this morning. Someone needs to get a hold of God this morning and refuse to let go. You need to get a hold of your Lord and your Savior and say, I'm not going to let go no matter what. You need to get a tenacity inside of you. If you're broken and life is starting to catch up to you this morning, regret is heavy and consequences are scary, I'm here to challenge you to get a hold of God this morning and not let go. Come on, somebody. Jacob, even though he was flawed, even though he made mistake after mistake, even though his life was full of pain and full of struggle, Jacob wrestled with God and he refused to let go until God blessed him. See, the Bible tells us, and the title of today's message is simply this, and I want you to get this in your spirit for the rest of this week. It's not time to let go, church. It is not time to let go. Somebody needs that this morning. God, let our theme for the week be, it's not time to let go. I came to preach this morning. If one more thing falls apart, it's not time to let go. If one more person lets me down, it's not time to let go. If one more bill hits my mailbox, it's not time to let go. If one more sickness tries my immune system, it's not time to let go. If one more attack comes against my family in the name of Jesus, it's not time to let go. If one more friend turns their back on me, come on, somebody, it is not time to let go. If one more attempt to do something great and be someone significant fails, it is not time for me to let go. If one more thing breaks, I said, thus saith the Lord, it's not time to let go. I'm going to fight. I'm going to wrestle. Until you bless me, I'm not letting go of you, God. As I face adversity each and every week, day after day, I, as your pastor, I'm here to tell you I am determined more than ever to remind myself, in the name of Jesus, it's not time to let go. In the name of Jesus, I have seen it with my spirit's eyes, and I know that God will fulfill my dreams. He will do exceedingly and abundantly even more than I could ever ask, think, or imagine. My God is able, so I'm not giving up. Now's the time to keep moving. I will keep fighting in Jesus' name. That needs, come on, somebody, help me preach this morning. I will keep praying. I'm going to keep hustling. I'm going to keep believing. I'll keep struggling. I'll keep trusting God. I'll keep fasting, and I'll keep praying, even though all I want is a nice ribeye. I'm going to keep fighting because I'm not going to let go until I get a breakthrough in Jesus' name. There are days that I feel like I can't carry one more thing because I'm human. I'm real. All of us feel this way, but I can feel it in my spirit, man. Church, breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is coming. I am just one more prayer. You're just one more prayer away from breakthrough. I am one more day of fasting. You are one more day of fasting before seeing that revival is coming, church. Come on, somebody. Tomorrow, we celebrate the life of a powerful man that made this world a better place because Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream, and he had a dream that he refused to let go of, that one day we would all celebrate the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings together, that all this division, all this hatred, all this racism would be defeated in the name of Jesus, and we would celebrate together. And I'm here to declare in the name of Jesus, I believe too that dream is coming. That dream is coming, and one day the evil of racism will be eradicated by the love of God in Jesus' name. I love the words of Dr. King, and I think they fit so perfectly with what the Lord is saying to us in this moment. Dr. King said this to inspire our determination. He said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then you better start crawling. But by all means, will you keep moving? Keep moving. Don't give up. Keep fighting. That's the word this morning. It's not time to let go. It's not time to give up. It's time to grab a tight hold of God and not let go until breakthrough happens. I'm not letting go until you bless me, Lord. I don't know about you, but my Bible tells me I'm to walk by faith and not by sight. I am to have faith like a child. I find myself discouraged because there are times where I drop the ball or someone drops me. Anybody in the house that has had some discouragements this past week? There's been difficulty that you couldn't help, and some of it you created. Come on, I'll just be honest. There's things that I create for my own problems. But I will determine in my heart whether it's my dysfunction or someone else's. I'm going to renew my mind in Jesus' name, because my God will never leave me or forsake me. My God loves me unconditionally, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil because his rod and his staff will comfort me. Come on, somebody. It's not time to quit, church. It's such a relevant word for these days we're navigating through. In just 2 months, it'll be 2 full years of a global pandemic. In 2 months, it's been 2 full years of the enemy trying to break our spirit. For 2 years, he's tried to do it with multiple waves and multiple variants and multiple restrictions, multiple lockdowns. We've had 2 years of wearing down our motivation, church. Wearing down, it is a strategic tactic of the enemy of our soul. It's been 2 years of trying to make us believe that limitation is a normal way of living. It's 2 years of this nonsense. 2 years of, I hate COVID. I'm frustrated with it, church. Can you hear it in my voice? 2 years of discouraging news. So many of us have determined, I'm not listening to the news anymore. Come on, somebody. Two years of political tension. 2 years of confusing messages. 2 years of fear tactics. 2 years of brokenness. And I'm ready for this brokenness to turn into breakthrough in Jesus' name. I'm ready for revival. I'm ready for him to hear us from heaven and heal our land. And after 2 years of being pushed to the brink of brokenness with this pandemic, I wonder who's ready to push back with some breakthrough in the name of our God. Who wants breakthrough in Jesus' name? See, I believe there's still some fight left in this place. I believe there's still fight left in you this morning. You and I still have a purpose in Jesus' name. You need to hear that if you don't believe in yourself this morning. There is purpose in you. God has created you. We still have breath in our lungs, and that means God is not finished with you, church. He's not finished with me, and I know he's not done working with me because I'm still fighting. I'm still holding on. I believe we still have what it takes to go another round. Come on, somebody. I say the people of life, church, are not quitters in Jesus' name. It's not time to let go. It's time to move from broken to breakthrough in Jesus' name. That's good news this morning. God, would you put a tenacious spirit in all of us? God, would you? I came to preach this morning that I refuse to be defeated. I refuse, no matter what hell comes my way, no weapon formed against me will prosper, because that's what the word says. I declare our church will be blessed. Our church will experience breakthrough. I declare that the windows of heaven will continue to be open over all of our lives, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. I refuse to give in and give up when times are tough, church. I refuse to get my eyes fixed on the wrong narrative, because that's exactly what we do. When circumstances come our way, we get so focused on the wrong thing when we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to look up to the hills where our help comes from. I refuse in the name of Jesus to listen to the wrong voices in this place. I will not be deceived by the enemy of my soul, because God told me this week it's not time to let go. It's not time to let go. When we take our eyes off of God's plan and we pay too much attention to the enemy's threats and to his schemes, that's when discouragement sets in. That's when discouragement comes, and we function in brokenness when God has called us to breakthrough. He calls us to breakthrough, church. As we dive in to week 3, the reality that it's not time to let go. I believe the one overarching message, and I want you to hear this so clearly and make this a part of our church culture, an overarching message that God's word teaches you and I is this: no one wins with a defeated mindset. Nobody wins with a defeated mindset. We cannot be a victim and a victor at the same time. Why are you so encouraging? Why are you so inspired? Why are you so motivated and think that God's going to do it? Because I refuse to be a victim, church. I refuse to be a victim because God's called me to victory in Jesus' name. No one wins with a defeated mindset. Oh, no, look at what's happening all around me. I can't do this anymore. I might as well go and stay at home today because, no, get up on the inside. It's time to fight. Now's not the time to let go of God. Discouragement, but that's the thing. We're all human. We all face these things, and I'm not throwing judgment on you if you're discouraged this morning because, praise God, there are plenty of days where I'm discouraged. Discouragement will try and break you and I, but we don't have to allow it to. We don't have to allow it to. I've said it every week. When breakthrough is on its way, the enemy of our soul knows it. And he's going to try anything he can to stop it from coming. If he can break our resolve, if he can crush our spirit, if he can distract us to be unfocused, and he will try. But here's the deal. I've got great news. Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No, I'll say that again. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We will refute every tongue that comes against us, church. Jesus is the lifter of our head at Life Church. We will win. The victory is ours because the battle is the Lord's. If we don't prepare our hearts and our minds for this discouragement that comes our way, the enemy is going to win. It'll catch us off guard. It'll seem more convincing because he's a liar. That's his tactic. That's his only real power, is to try to deceive us. And I want to prepare you this morning as your pastor. As soon as we begin to believe that the dream is coming, praise God for last week, but as soon as we begin to believe that, then something will try and convince us otherwise. As soon as we get that in our spirit, you know what? The dream is coming for me. Guess what? Knocking on your door is trouble. Knocking on your door is a issue. For example, Elisha, the prophet of God, the mighty man of God, that he called fire down from heaven and destroy the prophets of Baal in one night. You want to know what the next day looked like for him? Elisha was running like a coward from a woman who had no real power in his life, and he allowed the whisper of the enemy get into his mind and discourage him. And when he was called and anointed and powerful, he was running because he allowed the lie to set in. See, God's word teaches us this morning in multiple ways. The minute you and I take a step in the right direction is the moment the enemy will try to sabotage our lives. The moment we fast, the moment we actually consecrate our morning to prayer, the moment we actually try to spend some devotion with our family, the moment we actually do something significant to advance our faith, man, that's when trouble's coming. For example, as soon as you commit to be more consistent and faithful to church and connecting deeply to God and the community on Sundays and Wednesdays, that's the moment somebody at work is going to quit and you have to cover their shift all of a sudden. I'm just being real. This is the way our enemy works. The enemy doesn't want us to create relational bonds of love with one another. That unlocks our joy and causes us to function on the right side of our brain, what we're learning on Wednesday night life groups. That empowers us to deepen our character and grow supernaturally and spiritually. The enemy hates that. So he's going to do whatever he can to put a stop to that. See, the enemy wants, here's the deal. The enemy wants a church full of excuse makers. The enemy, oh, wait a second, don't step on my toes, Pat. I'm so sorry, but I love you enough. I love you enough to tell you the truth. It's time to stop making excuses, and it's time to grab onto God and not let go in Jesus' name. We at Life Church are not a church full of people who refuse to come to be uncommitted. We don't make excuses. We grab hold and we don't let go. That's who we are. That's who we're called to be. I'm not going to sugarcoat it this morning. It's broken to breakthrough, not because the process is easy, but because it's painful. It's painful, church. God wants us to be reminded, even though it's painful, it's not time to let go. It's not time to let go. How about as soon as you and I make a commitment to tithe or to give in our missions pledges and advance the kingdom of God for his glory and for his name's sake, that's when the car breaks down. That's when the car breaks down. Or how about week after week you give your tithe, and even though you're faithful, the unexpected bill comes our way and it tries to eat away at your faith. Because that's what the enemy does. He brings things that try to chip away little by little. Maybe it's not a monumental wrecking ball that just completely destroys everything in your life. It's a little subtle chipping away. Why, God? Why is this happening? Why am I sick? Why? Why, Lord? How about this? How about it's not time to let go? How about it's not time to quit? Don't let this discourage you. We don't give to get. Come on, somebody. We don't give to get. We give because where our treasure is, that's where our heart follows. And we don't give to get. We at Life Church are generous because we're so in love with Jesus that we cheerfully give out of expression that, God, you've given me so much. You've given me more than I could ever have asked for. So I am so glad that I get a chance to give back to you. It's not time to let go, church. Maybe the broken to breakthrough looks like this for you. The moment you commit to prayer and fasting, sickness like the stomach bug runs rampant through your house. Sick COVID, this new variant, goes through all your kids and through you. Can I encourage you to see through the enemy's schemes this morning? See through it. See the attack for what it is. Can I encourage you isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious what the enemy's trying to do? He hates breakthrough, and he sees that it's coming, and so he wants you to let go of God. He wants you to let go. He wants you to get discouraged. He wants you to give up. He wants you to take the easy path. But God sent me this morning to say that most of the time, the hard path is the right path. Most of the time, the hard path is God's path. God sent me to encourage someone this morning who walked in this room discouraged, who walked in on the brink of wanting to let go, who walked in saying, you know what, this is too hard. God sent me this morning to proclaim and get this in your ear, in your mind, to get it into your heart. It's not time to let go. In Jesus' name, it's not time. I'll share one more, and it might be the hardest one. Will you let me? Are y'all okay? We good with this? Can we be real in the house of God? Are you willing to be open to the word, getting deep into who we are? The moment you chose to be like Jesus and forgive somebody, to actually let the offense go, to say, you know what, Jesus said, if I don't forgive, he won't forgive me, so I got to find a way. And finally, in a moment of emotional relief, you finally forgive someone that hurt you at your core. And that is the moment someone else you never expected to turn on you hurts you. That's the moment, because the enemy hates forgiveness. He hates grace. And the moment you choose to forgive, and before you can even fully recover from the painful situation in your past, the old pain is now compounded with the hurt of new pain. That's real, church. That's how he works. And the mind game that the enemy plants in our head is, why even try? Why keep doing this when all it does is continue to hurt you? People are problematic, and whenever I let others in, all I do is get hurt. I don't know about you. Have you ever said that to yourself? If I let others in, it just ends the same way. I'm here this morning. God sent me specifically, if that describes you at all today, God sent me to say it's not time to let go. It's not time to give up on forgiveness. The people in your life matter. Your steps have been ordered. God placed you in their path for such a time as this. Don't let go. Don't give up. Don't let go in Jesus' name. I'm so glad. Here's the reality. I'm so glad God didn't give up on me. I'm so glad he didn't let go of me. I'm so glad God did not block me. If you block somebody this week, don't feel convicted right now, but I'm glad God didn't block me. Hallelujah. Can I say to a cancel culture, that does not look like Jesus? A cancel culture does not look like Jesus, because Jesus loved the unlovable. I'm so glad that God did not cancel me, praise God. Even while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He didn't give up on me, so I refuse to give up on others. You can walk all over me. You can stab me in the back. You can spit in my face. Guess what? Jesus said, they did it to me, they'll do it to you. And I'm going to not give up on others because Jesus didn't give up on me. I want to invite the band to come as we close. I said it before, earlier in the message. I need to say it again. No one wins with a defeated mindset. No one wins with a defeated mindset. We can't be a victor and a victim at the same time. It's impossible. We have to be one or the other. And church, I know and I believe that God has given you and I the victory. He wants you to have breakthrough. Jacob was a liar, church. Jacob cheated his way into adulthood. He cheated his way to prosperity. He burned bridges. He manipulated people in their weakness. He hurt the people who meant the most to him, church. This is the character we're looking at, and I'm confident that Jacob lived with a great deal of shame and regret. And many of us in this room have similar shame and similar regret, but when the moment came, when the rubber hit the road, when there was a holy moment where God met him where he was, and he was face to face with God Almighty, when that moment came, church, it didn't matter what his past held. It didn't matter the mistakes that he made. It didn't matter the shame, the guilt, the regret, the weight of his past. Jacob refused to let go until God blessed him. And God sent me this morning very specifically to say it's not time. It's not time to let go. Jacob did not let go, and it led to his breakthrough, church. It led to his breakthrough. Someone needs to hear this right now in this holy moment. Your past does not have to define you, church. Your past does not have to define you. Even our mistakes can't stop God's plan for breakthrough if we determine to have the right mindset. I'm not letting go of you, God. I'm not giving up today. Not today. It's not my time to quit. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. And I'm not going to let go until you bless me, God. This is hard, Lord. I can't do this without you. But I'm not going to do it without you because I refuse to let go of you. If you want to stand with me all across this room, making this a holy moment this morning, I hope this has encouraged your heart. I hope that someone heard the prophetic word of the Lord this morning, that it's not time. It's not time for you to quit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we say yes to your word. God, we ask that you would allow it to inspire us, allow it to penetrate all the things that have been taking place all week that have tried to defeat us. God, I pray for the one that walked in with a defeated mindset. God, I pray that in the name of Jesus, right now in this holy moment, you would begin to encourage their heart, lift their head, strengthen their spirit in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that right now in this holy moment, they would begin to wrestle with you. They would begin to get a tight grip. Jesus, we trust you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, it's so important that you be released. Because one of the most discouraging things that can weigh us down is the weight of shame and guilt. But Jacob, in this story, he refused to let the past define his future. So right now in this holy moment, you'd say, Pastor, this week has been hard. I've had challenges. I'm facing difficulty. And the weight, the enemy's in my ear this morning. The enemy has been in my mind trying to get me to give in and give up. I've been faced with the past over and over this week, and it's trying to get me to stop. If that's you, God sent me this morning as your pastor to tell you, you need to be released of your past. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Jesus didn't die on Calvary's cross for you to carry the weight of your past. He died on the cross for you to be set free, for you to have freedom, to have a relief from the shame, a relief from the pressure. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So right now in this holy moment, we're going to open up this altar. And there's going to be two different responses that I want us to have. And it doesn't matter which category you fall into. This is a church that is going to grab a hold of the hem of his garment and follow hard after God. We're going to wrestle with him. We're going to press into his presence. We're going to hold on to him and say, I'm not going to let you go, God, until you bless me. And so there's two different options for this altar call as we begin to open up and worship this morning. It's simply this. If you need to release some of the pain of your past because you can't keep moving forward heavy with that heavy load, you need to lay it at this altar and you need to let it change you. God changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel, and it changed his identity. It changed who he is at his very core. And God wants to change you this morning. He wants to set you free. He wants you to have the freedom to keep fighting and keep growing. And if that's you, you can respond in just a moment. But if it's also you that wants to just say, you know what, life is hard right now, but I'm not letting go. Difficulty is at my doorstep, but I refuse to let go of you, God, until you bless me. I'm going to fight tenaciously until I get my breakthrough. Those are the two options, and it doesn't matter where you're at on the scale of things. If you're both, it's time to get to this altar and wrestle with God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Now is not the time to let go. We're going to fight. We're going to persevere. And breakthrough is on its way. Bless your people. May your anointing open up over us right now. In Jesus' name, if you want to pray, get to this altar right now. We'd love to pray for you.